WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This week, Turner Network Television is airing The Secret Life of Ian Fleming. It's a telemovie based on the early exploits of the writer who created the character James Bond. TV critic David Bianculli says the movie highlights experiences and mannerisms shared by Bond and Fleming.
My name is Fleming. Ian Fleming. I'm with Reuters.
The Secret Life of Ian Fleming isn't very good, but the idea behind it is great, and there's a lot of enjoyable little treasures buried in it. Basically, the more you like the James Bond novels and movies, the more you'll like this stylish but kind of silly TV biography. The most inventive thing about the movie is the casting. Ian Fleming is played by Jason Connery, whose father, Sean Connery, was the movie's first and best James Bond. The producer of The Secret Life of Ian Fleming says of his young star, and I quote, "We cast him not because he was Jason Connery, but because he was the best." Yeah, right. Anyway, Jason Connery's not bad. He even gets to storm a castle with flair, just like he did as the star of Showtime's Robin Hood series. Back then, though, he had shoulder-length hair and wore rags. As Ian Fleming, his hair is short and slicked back, his clothes attest to Fleming's aristocratic background, and, like James Bond, he's a lady killer. According to this TNT movie, Fleming was thrown out of two prep schools because of dangerous liaisons with beautiful women, one of them the general's wife at a military academy. Fleming's mother then sends him to work at Reuters News Service, where he starts out writing obituaries. But before long, a loyal secretary, played by Marcia Fitzallen, helps him land a plum assignment in Moscow. She also has a knack for throwing hats on a hat stand and is the obvious inspiration for James Bond's money penny.
Thank you, Delaney.
Whatever do you mean?
Well, who gave him my records? Who else but you had access to them?
What a shocking read it was to him. Whatever is it that makes these women fall at your feet so readily?
Perhaps when I get back from Moscow, I'll show you.
In Moscow, Fleming meets a beautiful Russian spy. Every woman he meets, by the way, is beautiful, just like in the Bond films. And he starts behaving, or misbehaving, just like 007.
Your lips.
What? What about them?
They're cold.
Make them warm.
When he returns, he's recruited by an Admiral Godfrey, played by David Warner, to join Britain's Secret Service. Fleming learns a lot from Godfrey, including, at their first meeting, how to order a drink.
I'll have a martini, please, shaken, not stirred.
I'll have the same.
You can see why this is fun, even if it's not very exciting. We get to see the real-life inspirations for the gadget-creating character of Q, the mini-submarines of Thunderball, the casino scene from Diamonds Are Forever, and, of course, all those Bond women. Kristen Scott Thomas, who starred opposite Prince in Under the Cherry Moon, plays Ian Fleming's one true love, but there are lots of false ones. Director Ferdinand Fairfax films The Secret Life of Ian Fleming more like a Bogart film than a Bond film, which is okay. The film noir look fits nicely. But the teleplay by Robert J. Avreck is so loosely based on Fleming's life that it's hard to tell what to believe. But if you just go along for the ride and for the fun of it, it's almost like a low-budget production of James Bond, the early years. Dramatically, though, it'll leave you neither shaken nor stirred.
David Bianculli is television critic for the New York Post.